Welcome, fellow tarnished. It is us, the Digital Bath Podcast, coming to you from the lands between.
We're back, boy, girl, man,
they,
woman, everybody in between. They, thank you. They, them. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me.
There's a lot more.
Aetheric angel spirits.
Yes.
And
who would that be?
Furries.
And goats. All you goats out there.
The forever maidenless.
Guys, it is us, the Digital Bath Podcast. We are back. We have returned. And it feels pretty damn good. To my far left, we got Dakota with the red bearded boy. We love him. To his right and my left, we got Jesse Smooth Talker Bateo over here.
What up?
And to my right, we got Christopher James. He shaved once, which was weird.
Yeah, it was super weird.
But I gotta say, it was the best Halloween costume that night. Him and his girl dressed up as the dudes from Electric Callboy, aka also known as Eskimo Callboy, but they don't call themselves
formerly
that
known.
Formerly, yes,
as Eskimo Callboy.
Yes. But that was awesome. And now his beard's coming back, so he's starting to look real good again.
Oh,
wow! I thought you looked just fine with before.
You didn't.
No, I didn't.
No, don't ever do that again.
We all collectively hated my face. Ooh. I can feel it whenever I walked in the room. People just like. Ew.
You are hard to look at, motherfucker.
It was fun to look at. Because I would just be like, I need to laugh. Okay.
Your face is dead.
You have no chin.
And then me, the mini fridge, Nick Savannah. It's a pleasure to be back. And, well, obviously, if you understand what tarnished means or maidenless, which probably everybody listening to this is, get good. We're talking about Elden Ring tonight. We're going to do a review.
Is it a review?
It's a review.
Round table?
A round table. We're going to talk about it. We're going to review it. We're going to give our thoughts. We'll keep it light.
Table of Light.
Ooh.
Is that what it's called?
No,
it's called the Round Table.
The Round Table.
Sights of Grace. I don't know. I'm just throwing out random.
But first,
Why don't you
go ahead and clink them drinks and pop them tabs.
Christen this episode, boys.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. Ooh, that was a good one, too.
Oh, it smelled like shit.
So I guess we should let people know a little bit, you know, of what's happened since our last episode.
We died.
Yeah, we can update people.
We died.
Motherfucker, you are hard to drink.
So, you know, on our forever quest of playing all of the video games, Jesse decided to take a side quest and had a little baby girl.
Yeah, now it's the main quest. What's up with that?
He chose the romance path.
Ooh, yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Overrated.
Renegade, though.
Renegade romance? I don't get it.
I don't either.
He had himself a little baby.
Yeah. A little gamer.
Little baby.
A little baby gamer.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
We will call TJ
on the show.
TJ.
No. So playing Apex with Jesse and Jacoby, a friend of the podcast. And Jesse just straight up...
I disappeared. I threw a fucking smoke bomb and had to run.
Was that Thanksgiving night?
That was Thanksgiving night.
And so Jacoby and I were just like, oh, bro, is he having the baby?
Well, I wasn't. But
and then 15 minutes later, he came back. He's like, love you guys. Got to go. Bye. And we were just like, oh.
Jesse has left the Xbox Live party.
And then the whole next day, I was like, oh, man, I wonder if this is blah, blah. Didn't realize that at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, he had already sent a picture of beautiful little TJ. So, but yeah. And then we enjoyed through the holidays.
Yeah.
And anything else major happen?
Just did some planning for what we want to do for the future of the podcast here. You know, I mean, we want to bring you guys more content, and we know there's not a lot of you out there, but the ones who are out there, we really appreciate every listen that we get. Yeah. Real MVP. But
thanks, Mom.
Thanks, both of you.
We've been talking about YouTube for a while. The Room looking pretty good. We need to get that going, get some videos out to you guys. But that's probably the most exciting thing that's happened was Jesse having baby TJ. Which
a new tarnished.
A new tarnished.
Microsoft bought half of the publishers out there.
I
still can't get a PS5 or an Xbox
if
you wanted to.
Yeah, it's getting better. A little better, yeah, if you want to pay more.
What's up?
If you want to pay more. Well, you're lucky.
I was.
Yeah, you're lucky. Nothing wrong with that, though.
No.
Yeah, guys, how's Elden Ring been?
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
Phenomenal.
If you don't know, if you live under a rock, Elden Ring is a huge title that came out from Software, and it has been blowing up everywhere, especially online.
TikTok.
TikTok.
Instagram.
Yep.
Twitch streamers are like people who have never touched any of the Souls games. If you're not familiar, Dark Souls, Bloodborne, Demon Souls,
nothing. Sekiro.
Yeah, Sekiro. Yep. Awesome game.
Dr. Disrespect.
Armored Core.
Yes, right.
Played Elden Ring he on did. Stream for a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Big, that's wild.
Big streamers. All the big time streamers right now are playing Elden Ring. And it's just one of those games where it comes out and, you know, Soulsborne players are like, okay, yeah, I know what I'm expecting, but it exceeded those expectations in a lot of ways, too, for most of us. It's an open-world Souls game, and there's not a whole lot that you have to know about it when it comes to story, because there's not that much of a story.
What?
If you dig for it, it's there.
No, it's, yeah. It's any Souls game.
Last night, did you do Ronnie shit?
Yeah, I loved it.
That shit was cool.
Wasn't it cool? That was a great quest.
What is that place called?
Divine Tower. Yeah. It's the Divine Tower of
shit,
something.
Wild,
yeah, the study
bro.
Hall.
You like you're flip like it upside down.
We're gonna.
It'll
I mean,
turn your whole world
you turn
upside
into
down.
Tim Allen. Apparently,
that guy.
That was
good,
an inside
yeah,
joke
one, yeah,
for our souls. Our souls yeah,
our fellow maidenless.
Yeah,
tarnished.
You guys are barely tarnished.
Yeah, I had a baby, and
little,
just let you know.
Tarny tarns. That's cute.
I play when I can. Okay, I play when I can.
Give us your impression so far, Dakota.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it.
Cool.
And he's done.
I think it's a really special game. It might be the next Blueprint, man. I don't think it definitely didn't create a genre. It's not its own genre, but it might be the Blueprint. We're going to see some Elden Ring clones for a long time now.
Eldish Necklace.
I do think this game owes a little bit to Dragon's Dogma. I do feel like there's some similarities in there. Third person,
yes.
Open world action game that's more than normally difficult, that has like a giant map and nothing.
It's
medieval giant. There's giant monsters.
If you took all of your favorite RPGs,
like what,
Skyrim,
that uses the same similar like targeting system.
Yeah, it uses targeting system to Dark Souls. It's Dark Souls. Yeah,
open and world. Dark Souls came out, and Demon Souls came out before Dragon's Dogma.
Sure,
but I see what you mean. It's not that I don't. I see
there.
What you mean. The vibe
vibes
is there.
So, but for me, I think it's just the free form of it all. The ability to tackle different things. I do think magic's broken. I think there's some severe balancing issues with magic. But other than that, I think that combat's extremely fun. Tackling things the way you want worked just like they thought it would. You know, there's definitely bosses where I was like, not right now. You know, go off, do some stuff, come back. And take that stuff on, and it's a very rewarding game. You know, I've definitely dabbled in a lot of the other Souls games, and I've felt the gratitude, you know, of like beating that boss and everything. But it just feels different this time around. You know, it really does feel like you have a 360 approach at it in this game, and seeing the different ways that people do fight bosses and the little secrets along the way, stuff that I've stumbled upon that I get to talk to you guys about that. It feels like we're playing two different games, you know? We start at the same point, and it's like, no, I didn't do that, you know? And it's like, oh, well, you got to go find this guy and do this, and that's really cool to be in it, you know? I think a couple of years from now, or even, like, a year from now, it'll be interesting if people feel like they're getting the same experience because we were in it from the beginning, talking to each other about our discoveries, and the game's new, and, like, there was nothing to look up. You just had to kind of do it, you know? So it'll be interesting to see how the game stands on its own, like a year or two from now, when people just pick it up fresh, and if they have that same experience, but I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm. I'm loving it. Yeah, it's good in the sense that it's reaching a amount of people that none of the Souls series has ever reached before. It's a much more accessible game than anything that they've made. Dark Souls, Bloodborne, Sekiro, all of those games were a high bar to cross into, and it was very off-putting for people that don't want to be crushed the first level they play, and allowing people to kind of say, nope, I'm not fighting that right now, fuck that, and leveling up, coming back and defeating that boss, yes, is super gratifying for those players that need to build up because they haven't played the previous games. And then for us Souls fans that have been with the series for so long, there is a lot to enjoy about this game. The fact that we can go anywhere straight from the get-go. We can go to the hardest areas of the game, honestly, right from the get-go.
Mostly.
And you have a and you have a Dark Souls experience if you do that first. You're dumb because there's so many more things you could do before that. But it's reached a point that, this is a pinnacle for the Souls series, and there will be many games that try to replicate what it does. I kind of see what you mean by Dragon's Dogma. To me, the map, it kind of has that feel of
Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild. Has that kind of openness to the map where you see it, you can go to it, you can climb it, you can probably find a secret cave.
Secret tunnel.
The downfalls of the game are by far the magic and the balancing and the ease at which the game has when it should be difficult. But we'll probably get more into that later. That's just kind of my quick like overview. Some of the landscapes, fucking beautiful. Some of the best work they've ever done with their landscapes. You know, enemy types, there's some really interesting ones mixed in as well. It's basically, I call it the greatest hits of Souls. Mm-hmm. You have your weird eldritch horrors from Bloodborne. You have your knights and your really dark aesthetic to the fantasy world from Dark Souls. And you even get some fucking samurais and ninjas in there from Sekiro. So there's lots of really cool things to love about the game.
Yeah. I agree with pretty much what everybody has said so far. The landscape you were talking about is phenomenal because I was playing last night and I was by Rhea Lucaria, the Academy of Rhea Lucaria.
Bless you.
And I looked up and you know those big, I don't know what you want to call them, pedestals that go up and they go all the way around
the wheel, basically, that you can jump on.
Yeah. You can see that and it's in the exact place it's supposed to be. And it looks, you know, of course, it's so gigantic. It looks like it's thousands of feet away. But you can, like, that's how detailed this game is. Everywhere that you can see, like you said, you can go. And not only can you go there, but it's going to be the exact layout as you saw it from outside.
Yeah.
Attention to detail and everything is rendering in that you're seeing. It's actually rendering in. Granted, if it's so far away, it's being rendered in at a very pixelated state, but you don't see that,
just
right?
Like
as
our
the player.
Eyes.
Yeah, true. You don't see that as a player, but everything is rendered in. So it is by far one of the more stunningly visual games I've played in a while because the landscapes look polished. They look great. Obviously, PC players had some issues with glitches and bugs and some of those types of things.
That's what you get for playing it on PC, bitches.
Yeah, I know. Master Race, huh? Okay. And
I have expected Dakota to be like, I also bought it on PC.
Yeah.
I've thought about it.
Yeah. So I can't talk enough about it. And the...
Well, good.
Right? That's kind of the point.
I'll make this easier.
And the fun that you can have by just going off and finding, like Dakota was saying, finding these random shit and then running from it. Part of the awesomeness of that comes from the items that you can collect, right? So a lot of people, when they first start off with this game, they might be selling items, like selling weapons or selling armors that they don't like or they don't want. But there's an entire subculture of Souls fans, Elden Ring fans, that it's called Fashion Souls. And they'll keep all of their, armor and all of their weapons and stuff. And they'll basically like try to make the coolest version of it and put things together. And they'll like post it up on like Reddit or, you know, on Facebook, whatever it might be. So that creates another part of the game that you didn't think you would actually like enjoy. Be like, oh, I got a new armor set. Let's see what this looks like with the, you know, my chest looks like with the gauntlets. See what the, you know, greaves look like with the helmet and all that kind of stuff. Really cool. You guys kind of tackled some of the other things that I was going to say, but I agree with them.
We tackled it and punched it in the face.
Just like Elden Ring would.
Chris?
I really like how you start off and they do the whole Souls thing where they're like, hey, here's a boss. You're dead. There's people out there who are beating that boss with literally nothing, and that's cool. That's not me. I immediately got slapped in the face, you know, basically one-shotted by
as
that
you're
thing.
You're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when you get out into the real openness. You first walk out and you just look around and you're like, holy shit, this place is huge. And then, you know, you go up to the Tree Sentinel because you're like, I'm good at video games. And the Tree Sentinel's like, nah, bitch, you're not good at video games. You're not good at this game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You're good at this game.
And you go, well, most people. I did. Of course, I was like, ooh, big shiny gold guy. What's he do? Oh, he kills the fuck out of you.
Yep.
So then you're like, all right, well, I'm going to go the opposite way. And you end up going toward the town, the test town, as I like to call it. Little test camp.
Oh, yeah, that first gate. Gate front. Yep.
Well, there's the north lake, the Nagil, whatever that lake is called. North is what it's called. And it's like just a little camp area. And there's several regular small human enemies and one guy with a big shield and a lance.
That was my first grinding area.
Yeah.
I've murdered the, like, they fear my name.
Oh, yeah. They hear me spawn and they go, oh, fuck.
Again.
Start the walk, guys.
Again.
Have your horn ready. And I literally, the first time I played through, I was just trying to see as much as I could.
I could tell you the placement of every soldier in that game.
Oh, for sure. You go around and I went around and I did all this other shit.
The dogs.
And on my first playthrough, I told these guys and I told everybody who was in earshot of me that I was going to kill anything with a health bar for as long as I could.
How'd that work out?
It did not work out well because the NPCs are totally killable and then you don't get any quests from them. You can still collect their bells if they have stuff to sell, and you give them to whoever and whatever that
the
thing
twin
is.
The twin ladies,
the twin maidens, and you can shop their shops, but they also have special quests that are like, hey, what if you do this and then I'll give you some stuff. You don't get that, so don't do that
because they're dead. You
unless
killed
you're
them.
On, you know, if you're on your second, third playthrough, you already got all the shit. Whatever, it doesn't matter. You do whatever you want. But I would say don't go around killing everybody and everything as soon as they stop talking.
I'd say most people don't do that. But
yeah, well, you know, most people aren't stupid like me.
That's fair.
On my second playthrough, though, that was my area, the camp. I was like, I'm not leaving this camp until I can kill everybody without using a health flask. Like I was like, I have to get good. I have to quit being a scrub. So I was there for probably 2 or 3 hours, and then after I got it once, I was like, I need to get it again so I know it wasn't just a fluke, and then I was like, okay, I'm high enough level that, you know, are they trolls? What, the giant things with their guts hanging out?
Oh,
yeah, those are trolls.
Are they trolls?
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called. Giant things with their guts hanging out, you know, they're no problem. And
with the swords?
Yep. Yeah, they pull out the sword about halfway through, and they're like, okay, fucker. You know, that's no problem, and then you go face the first boss.
Market.
And then he whips your ass for a
he
little
He humbles
while.
You.
I will say on my first playthrough, I didn't know you could summon help.
Because you killed him.
Nefeli? Did you not find her originally?
No.
If you did, you killed her.
yeah, exactly.
Nefeli's not the first summon. It's the sorcerer.
It's Rajier.
Oh, that's right. Nefeli is for Godric.
Right.
Come on, maidenless, let's go.
So You can summon help. There's gold signs on the ground, and you can summon help. I didn't know you could do that, so I was just... I didn't know you could use the summons also to...
Yeah, the wolf and
call
the
another helper into the game.
At that point.
Had no idea, so I was just hardcore going at it. Got to the second boss, same thing. And then got to Ronnie, I think it is?
Rinna.
Same thing, didn't know. Beat her ass, and then... And then I got to a point where I didn't have any more missions because I killed everybody. Not missions,
so,
but...
So, story-wise, not that far in the game.
No, not very far into the game. And I was, like, 80 hours in at that point because I went and did everything else.
Yep.
Dude, just finding random catacombs, you're like, what's over here? And then, you know, just...
Death.
Yeah. Death.
More death.
Also,
poison.
Cool stuff.
Rot.
Oh, fucking Scarlet Rot.
Death Blight.
Oh, Death dude, Bite. That shit's awesome, though.
Deathbite is awesome. The first time you get killed by it, you're like, oh shit.
Yep.
Let me get my souls back, or my
runes.
I still use the souls lingo for
I
this
started
game.
Getting better at saying runes,
souls
but every now and again, I'll be like, soul, not souls.
I don't know why, but I just call them points of grace, even though it's sites of grace, but I'm just like, yeah, there's a point over there of grace.
Well, points of grace sounds cool because it's a pog.
Point. Bonfire.
Point of grace.
Gotta go my pog.
So... Do you guys feel that the game has lived up to your expectations?
Far, far exceeded them in my eyes.
For me, yes, I do. I have a not complaints. They're more like nitpicky little things, but otherwise, for me, this game is a pure 10 out of 10.
Yes and no. I feel like it because this is such a varied game in what it does gameplay-wise, environment wise. Some of the focus is a little lost. Bloodborne for me still kind of takes the cake for their magnum opus because it's so fine tuned and catered towards one aesthetic. And Dark Souls 3 even felt a little more fine-tuned in its aesthetic as well, as far as what it was trying to portray with the ruined cities of pretty much everywhere you went to. But the amount of possibilities in this game exceeded what I thought was possible, for sure.
Yeah, I think the simple addition of the steed and the way that that done, if those controls had not been as tight as they are, would have completely ruined it. Jesse, you brought up a great example. The Batmobile and Arkham Knight, and how adding that was the focus of the game, and it definitely took away from the Batman aspect of it, but this just feels like an extension of yourself, you know?
Right.
You can use your weapons, your magic, you can heal, all those same things, and it just it feels like an extension, and there's definitely times where I'll be playing with one of you guys, and we'll just keep dying. It's kind of like, let me hop out and
let me get
on my steed and see how that goes, you know? And yeah, so that's the game's lived up to all my expectations. The one thing I think is weird is this feels like it's almost like it's really focused towards the single player experience, and they just kind of added multiplayer in because you don't have a steed when you're in multiplayer. So it's really just about meeting up at a point where you're going to summon someone and then going in because. I don't know about you guys, but slogging through the open world on foot is not usually what I'm about.
It's usually best to go to the location. You're like, hey, I need help, or hey, let's do this together and let's do this. And then fuck off. I'm going to go explore. One thing, other way it did not meet my expectations is George R.R. Martin was tasked with helping do the story for this game. And things have started to come out like halfway through development. They kind of pushed him aside a little bit and were like, hey, thanks for helping us, but we're going to do our Dark Souls thing. So the story by far did not meet my expectations for what I was hoping for, getting such a prolific writer like George R.R. Martin to help with it. I will say that.
And for me, as someone who doesn't, you know, usually pay attention to the story or anything, it just feels like par for course for me, because I feel like when I play other Souls games, I'm not really given much to go off of either. So do you just feel like within the item descriptions, or just you thought there would actually be like cutscenes with story happening?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So there, I mean, there's definitely story happening in the game. It's not that there's not. It's just
there's
like
not.
They're like Dakota said, well, it's all within the lore.
That daughter's there, and you go and you save her dad, and then you go back and she's dead. And then you can go talk to him and he's upset, and you go back to her body and he's there crying.
Yeah.
The end.
And then you kill him and take his armor.
Yep. No, it has a story and it's there, and you could tell it's being told through the lore of the items that you find,
like
through
Dark Souls.
Yeah, exactly, like Dark Souls, like Bloodborne, all that kind of stuff. There's a little bit, there are a few more different cutscenes, especially if you finish the side quests. Some of the big main side quests have cutscenes to them that tell a bit more of a story, like Ronnie's side quest. It's awesome. You get a pretty big story there of what happens if you do every single thing you can. Selin's side quest is the ending to that. Actually, I was like, oh shit, that's fucking creepy as fuck. That's weird. So I highly recommend, if you want to get even more story out of it, instead of just going through the main bosses, do those side quests and really pay attention to what they're saying and the locations you go to, because it all comes together very well.
And Chris, jump in here at any time, but I don't know, Jesse. I feel like it's a lived-in world. I just my complaint is I don't know how it got to this point, right? And with Souls games, and I mean, it always usually what leads to somebody had a grab for power, and so it fucked a lot of people were trying to become powerful and it fucked shit up. And that's kind of the premise here, you know. And not to give too much of that away, but like, you know, you talk to NPCs.
There isn't much to give away.
Well, you talk to NPCs.
Yeah.
You haven't even finished the fucking game, Jesse.
I'm still 60-some hours in, and there's still not much of a story.
Doesn't matter if someone hasn't beat a game, they can still have an opinion, Nick.
Sure, but if you don't get the entire story...
How many hours in are you?
It's about 60.
Yeah.
And you can't expect... What?
I said you sounded pretty maidenless over there, bro.
The room's split.
Well, as I was trying to say, though, but some of the NPCs, like you talk to them, they'll tell you how the bosses have done them wrong and how they're terrified. You know, the chick in that shack up right before Margit. I mean, she's absolutely terrified. I feel like that was done really well, and talking to her and her progression that she makes as a character, I do feel even in my, you know, just under like 40 hours, I've gotten that. And with the wolf dude, the stuff that I've done with him.
Blythe.
And yeah. So I don't know. I think I'm just, what I feel is story, I think I'm seeing a little differently than you are, but I know what you mean.
So it doesn't tell a story in the traditional sense of a video game. It tells a story specifically from the first person point of view. You aren't getting a bunch of cutscenes showing you what's happening off in the distance to tell the story. You're only getting the information as you would as a person in real life.
It's just not a step up, I feel, from the Souls games, and that's what I was expecting with a prolific writer like that helming that kind of story. That's
kind of a grandiose kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting some more gravitas to what we were experiencing.
You're basically just like Dorothy dropped in Oz. You know, like shit already happened before you got there, and you're just like, oh, what happened to you? Damn.
That's, I'm going to kill him later for you, but dang.
Oh, man,
that's a real bad man. I should kill him.
Wizard of Oz and Dark Souls have some similarities.
With the chick you were talking about, what's her name? Yeah.
I don't remember, but she's
Rodrika.
Awesome.
Rodrika.
Finish her story. That's going to close off something if you don't.
Rodrika, when she was talking about how she wanted to be grafted like her family because everybody else, but she was afraid, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Who cares? That's dumb. And then you get to
Godric,
and you're like, that's what grafting means.
Yep.
Literally.
In the literal sense.
And you're like,
put a dragon arm on me.
When he throws his, whatever, his cover off, and you see all those,
all
and you're
the
like,
arms and shit, yeah.
Oh my fucking God. And then halfway through the fight, he's like, this arm is trash, bro.
I'm going to put a fucking
Designs
dragon head. I'm going to graft a dragon head to myself and blow fire out of it.
It works. There's no lungs. It's just a dragon head. That's what dragons
don't worry about it.
Doesn't matter.
It's in their throat.
It routes from his lungs to the dragon's face.
He had the power. That's what you're worried about. Long.
Yeah, no, not
he
at all.
He just needed something to release.
But you know, those are the things you think in the middle of the fight. You're like, how does this even work?
Oh, I was not thinking that. I was thinking, fuck.
Yeah. Am I far enough away from this fucking fire? No, I'm not.
I was thinking cutscene. I was like, sweet. And then I was like, not so sweet.
Oh, shit.
So the spirits are one of my favorite additions I was looking forward to. Do you guys feel yourself using those very much? And how do you feel about the way they're implemented?
The spirit summons?
Yes, sir.
I use them if I am having a very difficult time with a boss.
So you don't use them for funsies?
All the time.
I don't use them for funsies unless I feel like I just need to. Like Melania. Yeah. After like the fucking 40th time I died to her, I was like, okay, I'm going to use my mimic tier. This is ridiculous. And it still took me another 10, 15 tries to kill her.
Yeah.
And then I used it on the final boss as well.
You don't use them, though, in opportunities in, like, dungeons or the open world?
No, not really.
You don't feel compelled to?
No.
It took me a long time to realize that that's what that symbol on the side of the
It took a lot of people a long
time.
Not
well explained.
And you can completely miss. I mean, you will eventually, I think, with enough.
I'll be honest, I thought it was a saving icon. I was like, the game's saving right now. Shit's about to go down. Then I realized you're going to go back to a site of grace when you die. And I was like, that's not what that was.
Not explained well at all.
No,
I think it's on purpose.
Are you talking about the grave symbol? That's a summon.
That's what he's saying.
He said he thought it was an autosave.
I didn't know that you could summon people for 80 hours in the game.
And you have to go and touch the statue.
Yeah.
Oh, the stake of whatever.
America.
Yeah.
You touch
America.
It.
You go up and activate it.
You activate the summoning pool to summon people from actual people.
Oh, you're talking about
the spirit summon.
I still have yet to summon actual people at all. I'm trying to
Let's
do this.
I haven't done that either. I'm playing with them.
Summonoski.
I don't have any friends in this
I don't summon
right
randoms.
Now.
Shout out to, if you want to get us in there, shout out password poopoo, capital P O O P O O.
Yeah, the other P is lowercase. Don't mess that
lowercase
up.
Lowercase P.
One cap.
I'm level 240 something, so
Blaze
if you need some help.
I got over level 100 a little while ago.
Yeah.
And now
level
you're
60.
Like, now, I mean, early in the game, you're like, bro, I just lost 10,000 runes.
That's nothing.
Now I'm like, 10K?
Yeah.
I'm not going back there. Fuck those runes. They're dead to me.
I need 480,000 runes to level up right now.
So silly.
There's no point for you to level up anymore, though.
Well, if you go to New Game Plus, whatever, it gets more difficult. Huh?
Why?
I mean, that's just
because I like the game that much. I'm in New Game Plus 3 right now. I only have one more achievement before I completely 100% the game.
You're in New Game Plus 2.
Hmm?
This is your third playthrough?
This is my third playthrough.
It's plus 2.
Well, plus 2, whatever. Yeah. Third journey. Journey 3 is what they call it.
Journey.
How do you guys feel about the, and I never know the right name, but the abilities that you can equip?
Ashes of War.
There you go. Ashes of War. How do you feel about those?
Dope.
Those are fucking cool.
Customizable
man.
Weapon arts, basically.
Yep.
Smart move.
Yep.
Smart move. Really awesome to be like, what's the best combination for my katana, Bloodstrike. Heck yeah. Yes.
So if you're familiar with like any other RPGs or anybody listening to this, you know, it's like putting, you know, lightning
or Dark Souls 3
or Dark Souls 3. It's like putting like lightning powers on your sword. That's what it is. That's what we're talking about. They're called Ashes of War, and you can take specific weapons in the game and you can attach a whole slew of different abilities, whether it be magic or, you know, shield, whatever it might defense. It's really cool what you can do with them.
Type of moveset.
I think the coolest thing, because a big thing for Souls games is scaling, right? So you level up main stats and different weapons scale, and by that they get stronger based off different stats that you use. And before, like, you know, I usually do a faith build. There would be certain weapons that you would want to use for a faith build because they scale the best. And the other weapons you just never even pick up. In this game, you can choose your weapon, and it may not be the most optimized, but like, you know, you can still make a viable, very powerful weapon by attaching these different
Ashes of War.
Ashes of War, thank you. And then you can choose for it to scale based off different stats, which is really awesome.
Along with the weapon customization, Ashes of War.
Ashes of War.
One of the things I thought was really cool is I found... We're doing spoilers, right? We don't give a shit. Right?
Let's not do deep game spoilers.
Yeah, okay. Nothing too
you
deep.
Beat a certain boss and you DGS's. Get a certain really, really, let's say, evil weapon. Right?
Okay.
The blast.
One. Yeah. So you get this weapon, right? And I was like, cool, let me infuse it with the Holy Order. Nope. Sword's evil. Holy Order's good. Can't use that.
Makes sense.
Pull out another weapon. You know, Uchi Katana, sure. Pull out a different other, you know, a nice holy weapon. Great. Pick out an evil weapon. Nope. You can't put any good on that weapon. I thought that was really cool.
Well, you can't put any Ashes of War on that weapon anyway because it's already infused with one.
Weapon. No, not it's an Ashes a special of War, an incantation.
Oh, an incantation. Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
Power up.
Yeah.
Gotcha. You can't do that on any special weapon.
Oh, you can't?
No, you can't.
No, I can't use different greases on my Winged Scythe or imbue it with anything.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
Already godly.
Yeah, it already has magical effects.
Or demonically. So I'm learning right now in the middle of the podcast.
I think it's cool, though, even like if you find like lost scrolls with spells and you give them to the...
NPCs.
The NPCs, like the cleric type character, and they're like, this isn't tied to the church, but we'll allow the heretical teachings. You know, it's cool.
But I'll do it.
He's like, I shouldn't.
But I'm gonna fucking do it.
I want to see what happens.
Okay, so again, I'm a noob at these games. So the guy left the table, right?
Yes.
Where'd he go?
He's in the plateau on a trail.
Oh, I don't know the cleric. You're talking about.
Yeah.
Is there someone else I can take my scrolls to?
Nope.
Nope, you have to find him, or you can kill him, and you can bring the bell bearing to the maiden.
But he's gone now. The twin maiden. You have to find him.
Yeah, he's in the plateau though.
Yeah,
have you found the guy at the bridge on the plateau who's pointing up at the tree?
I don't think so.
Okay, if you do, that's where you'll find him.
Oh.
Yeah.
You gotta go by the guy pointing at the tree, right past the goats.
About a mile down the road, take a ride.
There's a big giant with an arrow. Yeah. You shoot him in the leg.
There is a big giant with an arrow over there.
You hit him in the leg. He's going down.
Assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how easy they are to kill when you get close, but from far away, you're like, I'm gonna hide behind this rock till you're done.
Giant arrows flying at your face. Yes. They hit you, and you just got a giant arrow sticking out while you run.
Yeah, that's fucking funny.
What is it? The mountaintop of the giants.
Uh-huh.
That one where you have to run across that really, really narrow.
Yes.
And that dude is just like, yeah. Looks pretty fucking good.
I played a lot of Modern Warfare. I'm going to fucking snipe you.
Oh my God.
That part was, it's cinematically fucking cool as shit.
Yeah.
But then you look up and you see a giant over there and you're like, okay, everything's fine. And then you look up and you see him just knock his arrow and you're like, oh shit.
And that's when he knew.
And you can't go left or right on this thing. Otherwise you die. Yeah. So
I died the first time he shot at me. I jumped instinctively, but I was on torrent and he was just like, oh, air food. Pow.
Yeah.
One shot at me. I fell off. I didn't kill me, but I went ahead and fell off the side of the cliff and died anyway. I was like, you bitch, there's like 70,000 runes, and I was like literally 75,000 to level up at that point. I was like, you fucking asshole. Now I gotta go down there. I gotta kill the fire ladies. I gotta kill the dude with a fucking lava coming out of his head and a whip that's fucking imbued with bullshit.
But see, that's where you are, a noob. You don't. You can just run past them.
You can.
You do that. No, you kill them all the first time, so you know you can do it. And right. Then after that, you're like, fuck, I can fucking do this.
Boy,
so you just,
if you're not fast enough, Whip Boy can hit you as you're running by, and you're on that little tiny plank thing.
You gotta find a new name for that guy.
Whip Boy.
No, Whipping Boy. Stop saying it like that, please.
Yeah, don't.
So, Firehead.
There you go. Yes. I like Firehead.
So let me ask you guys, because this has definitely been a big conversation on the game. Is it that the game is easier?
Yes.
Or is it they're finally doing non-griefing when it comes to how you die or how you're able to progress?
I'm going to let Jesse go.
Just to finish my statement, people have said that Pokemon games have also gotten a lot easier because they've added quality of life things along the way. You know, the first game, you get experience for just the Pokemon that you were using, that you're fighting against. And they've now over time made it to where when you fight a Pokemon, your whole party gets experience. Like most other RPGs out there. Ever.
Yeah, ever.
But they're like, wow, Pokemon's so much easier now because all your Pokemon get experience. So go ahead, Jesse.
Dunkey, if you ever watch his videos, I think said it best, is that it doesn't seem like there's a rhyme or reason to which enemies could kill you one hit. And it's a lot of times it's that same enemy that you fought before, but it's a rot subtype or it's a this subtype. And there are multiple times where I'm like, I fought this before. This will be fine. And I've taken hits from them before. And then you die one shot. And it doesn't make sense. There's a lot of issues I feel with their level of difficulty. Because there are points in the game where it does feel like Old Souls. And you're like, okay, yeah, I'm used to dying one shot. Not in this game, but in other Souls games. So there's an issue somewhere with how they put those enemies and where they place them that it doesn't always seem fair.
Do you feel like that's mainly in the dungeons, though? Because they said ahead of time that those closed-off dungeons are going to be more like Dark Souls.
No, I feel like it's just dispersed throughout the game that there are random foes and enemies that are cheap and do feel like old Dark Souls. And I would feel better about it if there was a cohesion between what enemies are
a ramping of
yes
it.
Yeah,
so they've talked about that, and the creative team said that they did that on purpose because they wanted to still make, because they had feedback from testers that were saying that the open world aspect was too easy most of the time. So what they did is in those easier areas, they would throw these random enemies, like in Lunaria of the Lakes, when you first go in there, there's these little weird women creatures who ring a bell and they shoot these magic spells at you. And they're fairly easy to take out. But then if you go a little bit further into this ruin, that fucking like eight armed poison creature that like comes out of nowhere, and then two more of them come out.
The mini armed cunts?
Yeah. And then they one shot you and out of nowhere. And you're like, holy shit, that just seems
exactly.
Yes. They did that specifically to create more difficulty in areas that people knew they might be getting bored. It gives them a reason to go back into that open world, into that area, instead of just being like, ah, fuck it. It gives, they're like, oh, I want to go back and beat them.
My problem is it's that same enemy later on by himself that presents a huge issue, and then another enemy that's the same subtype in a different area also cakewalk. That's my problem. It doesn't seem like they picked it could be the same enemy and it can have varying levels of difficulty for no reason. That's my problem.
Yeah.
And, I guess I haven't ran into that.
Obviously, they do that because you're in a later area. So Mountaintops of the Giants, for example, that's not an area you can go to immediately. There's things you have to do to progress to get to that area. And you will fight a couple more enemies that you've already fought in Limgrave, for example, the starting area.
Yeah.
And of course, they're the same enemy, but they're way fucking stronger because they're in a stronger area. I get what you mean. Hey, this creature, I already saw this creature and I whooped its ass. Why is this one giving me the same issue? But I think that's a gaming programming thing to make the game more difficult later without having to make all new enemies.
When you see a crab and you're like, fucking big ass crab.
No, the crabs always give me problems, though. I hate the crabs.
You know what gives me the most problems in this entire game?
The lobsters?
Dogs.
Oh, yes. Fuck dogs, dude. I love dogs, but fuck dogs.
Yeah, dude, I'll be fine. One dog, two dogs, three dogs, I'm dead. I'm probably dead. Because I'm not good at blocking.
I don't block in this game.
I'm a dodger. And they're just like, nah, 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 nah. I'm like, oh, I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm fucking gone. And then I have to go back and get the fucking runes. This fucking asshole.
The one enemy so far that I've struggled with was a one-off. And it's the fucking NPC that invades when you jump down in the main hub. The
blood loss.
And the Cody, frostbite.
Cody, he does the friend frostbite. Of the podcast, enemy to me,
you're thinking
was like, yeah, jump down there. Oh. And I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, let's jump down. I was like, oh, there's a Persevadian. Oh, yeah, you have to fight them. And I was like, okay. And I noticed there was no way to get out. And at the time, I had 6,000 souls. And at the time, that was a lot of souls for me.
That's a couple of souls, man.
And I was like, I have to keep fighting this person because I need my runes. And I probably fought him like 20 fucking, like for 2 hours. I was frustrated. I left the party at one point to try to focus in on it, beat it, still couldn't do it. I was like, I'm going to fucking leave these 6,000 souls behind. I'm going to level the fuck up. I'm going to come back and whoop your ass. I went up like 20 levels, came back. That shit was still fucking with me, but I did end up beating it. But it was just, it was.
He was your
I killed
Joker.
Him, though.
He was your Joker.
And he can't come back. He's
not coming back.
No, the eight arm cunts are my. Oh, I hate those. That's my. That's my.
I don't
least favorite enemy.
They shoot the arrows.
Oh my god.
The marionette things.
Yes. No. Not that. No,
you're
no,
saying
no.
That was yours.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
That creature who comes out of a portal and she has poison and like and
it's
huge. Like I fucking yeah. That's the worst. The marionette guys are whatever. You just have to time it right and you're fine.
Yeah.
That's most enemies, honestly. Like. I've noticed
one.
That, huh?
Not the eight-armed cunt woman.
Oh, I haven't found that one. But, like, if something has a really, really strong attack, it usually means it has some kind of window for you to be able to catch it. So, like, I'll get blasted by something and almost come in like, oh, fuck, I'll get somewhere I can heal. And I'm like, I'll peek out, start to figure out the timing, you know, and then try to get in there. And then, but the crazy thing is, like, great, you fought that one. Here's two more here. And then as you get farther, there's one place here, here, and here. And then that's where it's like, shit, okay, you really have to, you can't. Always just balls to the wall at you know and just say YOLO and jump in. You do have to slow down sometimes. Jesse and I, there was a dungeon I had already gotten to the boss. I just I was like, you know, tag along with me, and we tried running to it like 2-3 times, and one time he fell off the side because it's so fucked up. Like the ramp is going one way and then the stairs are slightly off, so if you stay on the edge of the ramp you will just jump right into nothing. So and then we ended up slowing down a bit. One of the mind bosses to get one of the bell upgrades.
Yep.
My least favorite boss fight though, mini boss, not even story boss, was the three crystalline women.
Yes,
I for 3 hours.
You have to fight three of them at one time.
Three of them at the one time.
Because this
one
is the one where it's just one.
One of them has a spear.
Crystalline woman.
And she jumps.
That's what we fought.
She loved me.
Oh,
the one time that I went in there.
They take more damage the more you hit them.
Yeah. Once you knock off their armor or whatever. The one has a spear and she just jumps at you and does this chop thing, three chops in a row in the same timing, and then she hesitates and does the last big chop, right? And then there's the girl who throws circles of fucking
glaives.
And then there's a sorceress who throws shards of crystal at you, right? So I was like using my fucking... I was using Luthal the Headless. He's a good guy.
He's my bro.
He's a good dude. They didn't give a fuck about him. Like, the sorceress and the one with the spear were like, we're coming for you no matter what. And I was like... I beat one of them the first time. I killed one. I was like, oh, fucking, this is going to be easy. I just got to figure out the timing. And then for 3 hours, sat there and got my ass kicked. And it was late at night, and everything in me was like, just go to bed. Just and I was like, no.
You can't.
I've got 60,000 souls. Run in, get the souls back, drop Luthal, heal up. Okay, here we go. And I just kept fucking dying. Finally, I gave up. And then I went and got the sword from the snaky guy. And I came back, and I fucking destroyed them in like 2 tries. It was all I needed to do was go get a better weapon.
Yeah. That was me and the Godskin
but
Apostle.
But that fucking weapon sucks if you're not fighting Rykard.
No, not the serpent. That literally is all that weapon is good for.
Oh, I know what you are.
Yes. Get from him.
Yes.
That is a fucking baller ass sword.
The Blasphemous Blade?
Yeah. It heals you when you kill somebody, but also when you use its weapon art, is that what we're calling it?
Yeah.
It heals, you get health every time you use it, so it's just like, you can't fucking hurt me as long as I have blue flasks.
Yeah, I do feel that they do throw a lot of flask upgrades at you too, especially early on, and of course being able to allocate it again as always, having the new flask that you can customize is really cool too. There are a lot of heals in this game, which I am appreciative of, because you know, I'm that person that
Needs like, them?
Huh?
Needs them?
Well, no, it's not even that, but I'm the person that's like, oh, this could be, I could have a little bit more before I go in here. Okay, let me, you know, drink it, top it off. And I always like to be at full when I go into like a new room because I'm that guy that like doesn't want to die because I didn't have like a sliver more HP to that hit. Like, you know?
Yeah, you could have survived that if only I would have taken that flask. Yeah.
I'm also the guy that's like, I've shot one bullet out of this magazine. Time to reload. Yeah. So
Same. Oh, God. That's so true. The open world aspect is really fun. And that is it's almost a getaway if you are in the main dungeons, right? The legacy, I think they're called legacy dungeons.
Yes.
Which are, they call them that because they're very reminiscent of Dark Souls dungeons.
And they're hard as fuck.
You have shortcuts that you can unlock and you have to, it's like a maze
secret
basically.
Walls.
Yeah, secret walls that you go through to get to a boss. And those are your main areas of the game. And those are the difficult areas, even if you're leveled up. They really do ramp shit up on you, including the shade, I guess you could say, because they cheat, like they'll put someone like where you can't see them, like it's impossible, and they'll jump down on you and take half your health. Like they just start throwing the shade at you every which way.
Shout out to every message that says trap ahead or beware of right or whatever.
Or I'm finger like, butthole.
I used to, well, yeah.
Try finger butthole.
Try jumping.
Is this dog?
Door. I've seen that
fucking bastard.
Door.
You like go up and hit Y and you're like, damn it, door doesn't open. What's it say?
Precious door. Item back here and you get back there and ain't shit.
Yeah.
Dung ahead and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, it was a bullshit fucking
dung eater. The dung eater quest. I still need to do that quest.
I haven't done it.
Anyway, but so you go out to the open world, and while it's not as difficult as, you know, certain Souls game would be.
Or Armored Core.
There's still some level of, you know, difficulty, especially like the Everjails that you find in the middle of there. Some of those bosses in the Everjails are pretty fucking tough, even in beginning areas.
Because you can't take anything with you.
Yeah. You can't summon anything. Nope. Nothing. It's just one-on-one.
They're called Everjails. That makes sense.
Did you call them Evergal?
I was like, I got to go back to the Evergal.
The Evergal.
And fight.
It is kind of a no risk fight, at least, because your souls just drop right outside.
Yeah,
which is
You warp into basically a sealed off prison room, and then if you die, your souls don't stay in the prison room. You can just go and pick them up in the outside.
That is the nice thing about this.
That's kind of nice.
And I feel like where they have put the Sites of Grace are really important.
There's so
too.
Many.
Yeah, there's so many. You can really like just teleport wherever you want. So
yeah, fast travel's huge.
Yeah, the fast travel's huge. It's important and it's done really well. Mm-hmm. So. Is there anything you guys think that someone who's curious but they're really not sure about it, anything you think they should know about the game if they haven't played one before or if they haven't enjoyed one before? Do you think there's something that could sway them for this one?
Yeah, this is by far the most accessible Souls game we've ever had. And it's if you were going to play knockoffs that were easier, don't, because this is the one to play. It's got that openness to it that you can learn to get good.
You can earn it.
You can earn it, unlike the previous Souls games where it's like, man, I can't get past this first level. Sorry, you have to. Otherwise, you're not going to play this game. So, if that deterred you, play this game. And just because I have gripes with it, because I have played a lot of the Souls games, it's great for, I think, new players. This is the one to go with, for sure.
Is it great for you?
I still really much enjoy the game.
Okay.
Very much enjoy the game. I mean, obviously, I 60, not as much as these guys, but 60 some hours in it. I'm playing it any chance I get to.
Right. That's a lot of time, real estate.
Yep. So I do still love this game. Miyazaki, the director, knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
By far. Definitely this is the one to go with. There's just so much to explore. And you do, granted, there's not a story, in my opinion, that's really there. There's smaller stories within what they're trying to say, like the quest lines with all these NPCs. And also just the random events that happen in the world, like when the first dragon shows up. If you're in the lake, it shows up in the lake. Or if you go towards the cart that's going by, it destroys the cart and all the enemies that are there. So there's some really awesome in-game
moments
that, yes, do make the world feel lived in and definitely worth playing.
Yeah, my piece of this, and I'll throw it to Nick, is the moments, I think, and if you were looking for, if you do not play hard games, play this game. As someone, I've never shied away from hard games. Like I said, I've always tried out whatever the newest Souls game is when it comes out, or I'll play stuff on harder difficulties, you know, for achievements, things like that. But I wouldn't say I seek out games because they're hard, for sure. But for this, I feel like this has kind of added a new appreciation for me for kind of delving into quote unquote harder games, you know, and kind of earning it, like I said earlier. So, you know, try it out. It's a lot of fun. You can goof off, you can, you know, or you can take it seriously. It's been out long enough. There are some builds now, some things you can look up to, some guides. I would suggest not using guides as much as you can, not because it's a bad thing, but just the discovery and the aha moments are so good. I feel in other games where you beat bosses in order to get what you're unlocking, this game, what you're unlocking is the next boss to fight and beat. So, you know, and that's kind of been the Souls thing. So try it.
Yeah. I'll start off by saying, I don't know if I've ever seen a game reach out to so many new people at once.
12 million plus now.
And make them download the previous titles because they ended up enjoying it that much.
Praise the sun.
Seriously, I mean, there is a mass community that lives out there now that has never played a Souls game because they knew it was too hard, or they tried it once and they just couldn't, that have now played Elden Ring and was like, holy shit, what have I been missing out on? And they have gone back and downloaded every single title, or a lot of them, and started to play them and enjoy them.
And then they get to Blighttown and they're like, oh, that's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, fuck Blighttown. Yeah.
We don't talk about Blighttown.
No matter how much of a Souls veteran you are, you don't like Blighttown. Yeah, fuck that. And the moment that you walk out of the tutorial area, you are presented with this gorgeous, ever-expansive landscape that just looks like a beautiful spring or fall day in some areas. And you can hear the wind, you can hear your feet on the grass. The audio design is breathtaking, and it makes you feel so immersed in this world already, even though it's third person, because you make your character, you customize your character, you make them look what the way you want them to look. You are putting yourself into this game, and this game is helping you feel a part of it every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
As you go along, you're going to get pissed. There's going to be times where you just can't get past a boss, whether it's because they are too difficult or they're difficult for their movesets aren't reacting the way you think they will just for you. I've had difficulties with bosses that other people have not, and vice versa. That stuff's going to happen. And if you're online, you have this awesome community who puts these helpful, a lot of times, instructions that you can read on the ground.
Not all truthful.
Keep that in mind. Helpful. There's true.
Don't jump off ledges.
There's a lot of trolls out there. But I like Chris, you know, he found one the other day in a dungeon. There's this like Trojan horse thing with these bladed wheels that are, it's just a pain in the ass to get past them. But there's these explosive pots up above. I had no idea about, neither did he, until he read a message. What did it say?
Shoot here, or I don't
shoot
remember.
Up or something like
look
that.
Look up, shoot up or something like that. And I was like, it took me 5 minutes to even figure out what to do, because I was like shooting at the pots, nothing was happening. I was like, well, maybe I don't have something powerful enough. And then I shot the chain that was holding the pot. And it hit the ground and exploded, and I was
and
like,
it killed the
no, the first time. It oh, didn't.
The first
it just
time
hit
you
the
missed,
ground
yeah.
And exploded. I was like, oh, I wonder what happens. Here you go, Bob's your uncle. I fucking killed a Trojan horse.
Hell yeah!
It was the best day of my life.
And it's just these small things that you can't see, that these people who play the game for hundreds of hours, or they data mine the game and figure out like different things about it, that give you these awesome, helpful hints that make you so much more appreciative of that.
Yeah,
and then you have the randomness of, if you're playing online, NPC encounters. People can invade your world. Other actual players can invade your world, and you can have a one-on-one PvP.
Try me, bitch.
It's really cool. And, you know, if you want to, there's even, like, rules, like special rules that the PvP community has made up. Always be honorable. Bow to your person you're dueling. Allow yourselves to buff, and then you go at it, right? Not everybody does that. That's fine. A lot of Souls players don't understand that, and you play the game how you want to play. I'll never tell you you're playing the game wrong.
Maidenless.
But that is another aspect of this game that you wouldn't think would be such a big part, but there is entire Twitch communities out there now who only play PvP,
Yeah, it's fun.
They're inviting, like, it's like a fight club. They're inviting arenas of people in to have these like 3-on-3 battles or 2-on-2 battles or whatever it might be.
Dark Souls 3 all over again.
Right? And then you start getting into the legacy dungeons. These dungeons are massive, most of them, and they're a maze. They're literally a maze. There's only certain ways you can go, and there's some hidden areas that you have to find in order to unlock shortcuts. So if you die, you don't have to go all the way back. You can just open this door now and make it to the boss room even quicker. And it's the traditional Dark Souls experience, and it's still a lot of fun and still very difficult for that traditional fan. Then you get out and you have to find where you need to go next, and you can do that by a slew of things. The map has so many different things utilized on it. The Sites of Grace even tell you where to go next for the story. It's absolutely like, hey,
Path of Light.
Path of Light. Go this way. It doesn't necessarily hold your hand, but it definitely gives you hints about where you need to go next. Mm-hmm. And then the different environments. Limgrave. Pretty spring day, you know, it rains sometimes, storms, whatever. Then you get into more than likely Caelid, and it is just at a complete hellscape. It is red, it is dying, it is full of what they call scarlet rot. The animals are giant.
T-Rex dogs,
ravens that are huge, and everything kills you in one hit if you go over there first.
Dragons.
Yes. Lunaria of the Lakes, also really cool, but it's a big swampy marsh area. Very, very neat, and it is too much water. Huge amount of water.
There are and lobsters.
There's two pathways that go up to the left and right of it that kind of surround the swampy marsh lake area. And then you get into the Altus Plateau, which is the closest to the Erd Tree.
You're like a travel guide right now.
And well,
on your left is the Erd Tree.
Seriously.
And then we're gonna book you 2 days in this hotel over in Limgrave.
You're dead.
It's got the capital of Lindell of all of.
I haven't been there, but I heard about it.
Of all of the lands between,
it's cool.
It's really cool, and
it's hard as fuck.
That whole area has a golden hue to it because it's so close to the Erd Tree, which is this gigantic tree of life that sits in the middle of all this entire country that gives light to pretty much everything, even in the night.
Not Animal Kingdom,
right? It is gorgeous, and I can't talk highly enough about it. Bloodborne is still my favorite, but that's because it holds a special place in my heart. But this is right there. It's one notch below it. I highly recommend anybody who likes open world games or difficult, strategy games when it comes to swords, shields, anything like that.
Not Pokemon.
Play it. At least give it a try. I bet you you'll enjoy it. And I think you might find a whole new series of games that you've been missing out on for years that you can fall in love with, just like we did.
Chris, if somebody goes to Gamers HQ, rents a lounge, and plays Elden Ring, is that kind of like hiring a dominatrix?
A little bit. There's several people who come out and they're like, I don't really like that game. And I'm, you know, I'm always helpful, and I say things like, get good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Rub some dirt in it.
You become
a gatekeeper, basically.
Yeah, really. You haven't died enough yet. Get back in there, champ. You know, things like that.
Oh, that's words of encouragement, though.
I want to switch my game. That's not allowed once you play Elden Ring. That's what you play.
There's no going back. So do you have any words of advice or, like, for someone that is thinking about it, or do you think...
It is...
What do you think?
It's your first game.
You know me. First Souls game, right?
Well, I played some Bloodborne. But I washed out before it.
This is the first game gone balls deep in.
Yeah. Let me just say, the exploration is everything that I wanted in a game. When I played like Far Cry 3, like you go to these caves and you're like, oh, there's going to be there's ammo and there's whatever. You know, and as Far Cry has progressed, they've gotten kind of cooler enemies and stuff like that. But this game already has the fucking coolest bestiary of any game I've played. Just you're like,
oh yeah, the
what
creature
is this
design
thing?
Is awesome.
Oh, it kills me, but it's fucking cool. Like some of the stuff, you're like, who had that idea?
Where Miyazaki.
Like, it's like a dog, but it's also like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and it travels in packs sometimes. But also sometimes it just hangs out with sheep, and it's totally cool with those sheep.
And sometimes there's something that's like 2 feet tall, and it's normal. And then when you go up to fight it, it one shots you.
Or it's like a little monkey assassin.
Yeah,
the demi humans.
Yeah, bitches. Also, let's make a centipede that has a bunch of arms and it's the fucking devil for a while. Yeah. Just go get the game and just go, man. Just fucking go.
Take your time.
So, Go get Molly Watt by the Tree Sentinel once, because that's fun. You know,
bite some giant bears. I
did go back, of course, you know, several levels later. And the first time I fought the Tree Sentinel, I fought him on a horse. And that was easier. The second time I fought him in the second playthrough, I was like, nah, sword and shield, let's go, you and me. And it took me a couple tries, but it felt fun. You know, here's the thing. This game, I drink Monster. I do all kinds of stuff to try and, you know, get my heart rate up. Nothing gets me more pumped than this game in a boss fight. Like, I am at the edge of my seat, you know, just... take the health flat. Oh, fuck. Dodge roll. Oh, God, I gotta use my magic potion. And I'm like, and when I die, I'm like, fuck. And here we go back again. Yeah. Oh, was I at a stake? Stake of Marika?
Marika.
Marika? Here we go. We're stake right back America. In it. Yeah. You know, it's just, it gets me pumped. And that's, you know, Apex Legends does that when you get into a fight with people that are good. But this is consistently... the most, like, I'm 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm wide awake, like, you fucking bitch. I'm coming back and I'm bringing Luthal with me and I'm gonna show you I'm not quitting. And then I get killed again. I'm like, okay, that was
Chris
lucky.
Is at WrestleMania right now.
Yeah. Everybody has felt what perseverance feels like.
Yeah.
And this game is one of those things where you have this task in front of you that almost seems impossible or improbable. And when you overcome it, it just makes you feel so accomplished. And this is a video game, but man, it makes you feel accomplished. You're like, man, I took the time. I figured out their moveset. I was patient, and I finally overcame this obstacle that was in front of me. And it just feels fucking good.
Yeah. You know, as a straight white male, I'm not used to roadblocks a lot in my life. So, you know, my white fragility kind of got in the way at first, but you know, I'm slowly starting to build up and fight the struggle of the game.
Yeah, fight the struggle, man. Fight the struggle.
You mean they didn't move out of the way for me? What the fuck?
Miyazaki put you in your place.
Yeah, right.
Oh man, these white people don't know what's gonna come to them.
Gotta take them down a peg or two.
Yeah. Oh, I've been taking down a peg or two. Trust me.
Oh my god. But yeah, get in the game, get out there, get killed, then get good.
That's it. I love it.
Just, all right. One more thing.
Okay.
The game just keeps getting bigger.
Yeah.
And it freaks me out.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought Limgrave was huge. And then I thought Caelid was gigantic. And then the Lake of...
Lunaria of the Lakes.
Yeah. Lunaria of the Lakes was gigantic. And then I'm up in this area. And then I'm over in this area. And I'm like, when does the game fucking stop? And then you go down below and there's more shit. Oh, my God.
They give so little shit. They put stuff off of the seeable map.
Yeah,
like up in the lake area, like the map stops, but there's still markers up there and things to do. They just didn't give a fuck about mapping it out.
You just
for
haven't
you.
Got them yet. You got to get those maps.
Are you sure? It's just a gray block. Oh, so it keeps going more to the left up there?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's huge, dude.
Nick, bring us home.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, we are all huge fans of the game and we hope you play it. Thank you so much for inviting us back into your listening station, whatever it might be. We really appreciate it. This is the Digital Bath Podcast, signing out.
Peace.